15 to 20 million.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As always, I'm very happy that you tuned in, and I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone now, invite family members and friends to tune in, because I met many people in my travels this week. I attended a few events, and many people told me they enjoy our panel, what we're trying to do, and they have a lot of respect for the ideas that we're sharing to help America get up off the floor and rise again. You're tuned into 860 in the Philadelphia tri-state area, and you can listen from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. As always, I would like to say my thanks to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, to Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, our great engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, your host. And as always, I can't thank you enough for letting people know about the broadcast. That's why I say go to your phone, invite another person to tune in. Last week we had a very lively discussion. It was the Mark Andel and Michael Blihash Hour, the M&M show, that put on a lot of issues on the table. I mean, we dissected some things, and people like to hear those kinds of things where we take an idea and move forward with it from start to finish. And by the way, last Friday, I attended the expo sponsored by Senator John Sabatina from Northeast Philadelphia, who, as you know, has been on this show and is a great supporter of American Workers Radio. I was there. I gave out hundreds and hundreds. We had, quite a bit of people, over 1,500 or more people came to the event. It was great. And I gave out all my American Workers Radio flyers, talk to listeners who listen in on the Wednesday and also on the Saturday show and our daily broadcasts here on 860. And I can't tell you enough how important it is for me to hear the feedback of the people as to what they think, what they see, and what they feel should happen to change America for the better. Well, today I have a very special surprise. On with us is Mark Andel, and we have a very special guest. Henry and I are in the studio with Dr. Rich Logis, and Rich is smiling as always. He's happy, happy-go-lucky guy. And Mark, one of these days we're all going to have to get everybody back here together for a reunion, and after what we saw on these debates, both the Republican and the Democratic debate, I think we have a lot to talk about and discuss what's the next step for America. But first, I want to welcome Dr. Rich Logis to say a few words.
Thank you, Michael. Mark, good morning. Good morning to our listeners. Larkin, I want you to know I'm not sitting in your seat. Just so we know, you kept it open. Michael, there's nothing like the real thing coming into the studio. Thank you, as always, for having me. And we've got, there's a lot to talk about from last night. I just want to start off with the debate that I thought the first half of the debate was pretty good. I thought Anderson Cooper's questioning was better than I had expected, admittedly. And there were relevant topics that were talked about. Unfortunately, some of the things, though, that really warranted more of an explanation on the stage, such as the email thing with Clinton, they were just relegated to be afterthoughts. And what you really saw last night was a sort of typical play out of the Democratic playbook, which is a lot of social issues and a lot of feelings issues. And the thing, Michael, is this. Right now, we are going to look at what's happening in Europe. I was in Europe with my wife in August. They've got a one currency, open border, let's be friends type mentality in Europe. And guess what? It doesn't work. The countries that perpetrated that let's be friends crap are now the ones saying, we need help. We're not able to manage. So that's what you saw a lot of last night. I think you saw a lot of let's be friends, depend on me. We talked about there were social issues that came up with marijuana, climate change. You know, I was waiting, Michael. I mean, look, I want to meet the pothead who ate a lot of Cherry Garcia Ben and Jerry's while drinking a $10 vanilla chai latte with organic raw goat milk progressive, smoking a doobie going, dude, global warming's man-made. Pass the doobie while his blunt is smoking up the whole place. Okay, this is the problem. This is the problem. This is the, it's like, dude, pass the Fritos, climate change, man-made. Yeah. Now, look, Michael, beware of politicians as scientists. Okay, beware of politicians as scientists. So I didn't mean to necessarily start with that point, but it's been on my mind because you saw a lot of kumbaya, let's be friends, the whole world, you know, let's talk to our friends in Syria. And a lot of people are sitting at home, Michael, going, you know what? I do the right thing. I follow the law. I work. I got a business. I pay my taxes. Why the hell do I care about Syria? I got no friends there. I got no friends in Syria.
And how many Syrians are paying taxes?
Let's be friends.
In the USA.
Let's be friends. It's a whole thing. Let's be friends. Well, you know what, Michael? Let's be friends don't work. It don't work unless it's on our terms. Remember in first grade, we used to walk around. Hey, you want to be my friend? Remember the girl in second grade we all liked? We kissed her quickly. We kissed her. All right, and then we came back because you want to be my friend? Why does, and right now, Michael, I hate to say this, but we've got a stare down. We're having a Western-style showdown with us in Russia.
Yep.
And there's just nothing good that could come of that. So the foreign policy that I saw last night was a lot of let's be friends, let's bring democracy to the world, even though the places we've brought it to have rejected it outright. The rest of the world, Michael, we do not owe the rest of the world freedom. We don't. We don't owe the rest of the world a democratic republic. The thing that really unnerves me about last night also with Clinton, I just want to make mention. A typical Hillary Clinton talk. Sorry, Mark. I'm just my last point before we get to you. Typical Hillary Clinton speech is like, blah, 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 marriage is a man and woman, blah, 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 gay marriage. Blah, 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 I'm for the TPP, blah, 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 I'm against it. Blah, 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 stop hiring illegals. Blah, 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 I show up to press conferences with them. Blah, 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 what, wipe it with like a cloth? Blah, 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 hey, look, I'm funny now.
Yeah.
And that was their guaranteed, not guaranteed. I mean, Heb on the other side, Heb Bush. I say Heb because he does ads in Spanish. The way you say Jeb in Spanish is Heb. So Heb was the counter. He was the guaranteed nominee for the Republicans to combat the queen-in-waiting, the coronated guaranteed nominee. And you know something, Michael? I still think Clinton's going to be the nominee. I think this thing with the email thing, best case, she gets a slap on, for her, slap on the wrist. People say, made a mistake, I'm over it, move on. And she'll be the nominee. And then the problem arises for the Republican Party because they got to take on that machine, which will raise billions.
And Mark?
Mark, how you doing?
What did you think, Guy?
How big is Rick's coffee there?
It's that $10 vanilla chai organic raw goat milk latte, Mark.
I don't think he needs coffee.
I drink that. I don't drink none of that Folgers crap. I drink that good progressive stuff.
How long are you in Philly, Rich? That's
until the rest of the week.
To sleep, right?
Yeah, rest of the week and into next week as well, Mark.
Good to hear you, Rick.
You too.
You sound real clear. How's everybody and the listeners? And wow, you know, I mean, I didn't catch a lot of that debate. I did catch a little bit later. you know, did they ever did they bring up everybody go out and buy Made in America products? Did they talk about the homeland?
Nothing. Nothing, Mark. In fact, this morning somebody asked me when I went for my coffee. I stopped at the local place for a coffee, and they said, Michael, before you go on today at 11, what did you think of yesterday's debate? And I didn't say a word. I just... I said it was a dog and pony show.
Did they talk nothing, about motherland at all?
Nothing. It was just unbelievable. And I mean, many of these debates have just been dog and pony shows. My question is, Mark, you are trying to revive the American dream. My big question is, what is stopping the American dream from going forward, growing? What is it? Is it, did you see anything in last debate or this debate that says, wow, these people are going to help us resurrect this American dream?
Yeah, you know, they've got a, one thing with, you know, Donald Trump, again, stirring it up, saying what everybody wants to hear. I had a bus from Iowa come in. 105 people, Mike, Saturday, this past Saturday. And I asked him, what do you think about the debates? And, you know, again, they said, Trump's saying what we want to hear, at least, and this and that, and stirring it up. So I hear the same, and I'm just asking from either side, what do you say? What do you hear? But, boy, am I, you know, my team's fired up. I can't say enough for my team. We're opening two more stores in the holidays just for the holidays because we're making a difference. You know, we're the action plan. To me, we're the flag that keeps flying, and we're making a difference. So we need more doers, you know.
You know, and Mark, as you say, flying the flag, as I drive through the city and the suburbs, I've never seen this amount of flags flying at this time of year. And I'm going to plead with people to fly them until it's winter time, because the flag reminds us that we are working under one objective. And the, both the Republican debate, both of them, and yesterday's Democratic debate, it was a lot of talk. Not one person gave a real outline of what they're going to do. I'm going to say this. As all of you know, I'm going to take this opportunity. And November is Made in America Month. We're going to ask everybody first to go out and vote on November the 3rd. That's first agenda. Go out and vote. Show your spirit to revive America. Then we're going to ask people on the first Friday, Saturday, Sunday of November, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, to go out and vote. Then we're going to support the Philadelphia Veterans Parade on Sunday, November the 8th. That's going to be followed, Mark, with something I'm going to ask you to make a big push for, bigger than, I know you do it every year, but a real big push, and that's for Veterans Day. Everybody on November the 11th and that whole week, go out and do something to support the organizations, support the businesses that are employing our veterans and all American people. After that, we go and we promote another weekend of greatness. Promote all American-made items as we get closer and closer to the holidays. Go out, look at those labels. Don't be bashful to speak up. That's what we're asking to do. Then comes Thanksgiving. You're with family and friends that weekend, that day. Speak up. Let the people know where you are. Wake them up. Let's talk about the American dream. Then there's Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and it's all of this that's going on. Just in those few minutes, I presented more ideas to help America than were discussed in both of the debates.
You know, recently I visited the Nashville and went to the Johnny Cash Museum, and it was awesome, if you like Johnny Cash or not, but 6 decades of music he put out. But they had a little area you could sit in. They had the American flag hanging there, and he actually read and the Ragged Old Flag. And if our listeners haven't listened to that, just listen to that tune. And Ragged Old Flag by Johnny Cash says it all, where that flag's been and what we've been through. And it's kind of a neat but you're talking about that flag and Veterans Day coming up, and there's no higher honor. You know, our Jim Austin, Rick, and you've met veterans. They they share love of country, and we all talk about it. So that's what we need. We need a lot of that talked at the debates too, love of country.
There is no talk about what they're going to do to revive jobs in the country. There was no discussion yesterday, nor in the other debates with the Republicans, where they said we are going to push a 2% tax for corporate tax for 10 years to bring all the businesses back.
Yeah, we want fair trade, right?
We want fair trade. We want labels.
I want to see labels.
I want to see people that have labels to really be able to go out of their way and promote it. I don't want to hear from the World Trade Organization that I'm promoting labels and I'm a very prejudiced and I'm, you know, teaching people to look for labels. And then when they see it from a foreign country, they're all worked up over it. Why?
Yeah. Let these candidates come up with a plan to have 50% fair trade, 50-50, what we believe in. Let them throw them on the table and get it to happen. I know Trump had mentioned it. You got a tax if you're down in Mexico or if you're in China. We're China's engine. We can control it.
Absolutely. And China, and by the way, I want to tell you something. I have gone out and I'm going to an event this evening to speak. It's a business event. And I have to say this to you. As I go out, I ask questions, and people in leadership positions in the stores tell me their inventory is sitting there because people have decided they're not going to spend all that money on foreign made. They will go out of their way to pick up something that has American made label on it. And I've been seeing it. I've been promoting it. Mark, your store. In fact, a man stopped me on Sunday. I was out at a party. He stopped me. He says, I was out in, he's a regular listener. He says, I was out in Niagara Falls. He said, Andel's got this huge banner of a store. I said, well, I haven't seen it. He said, well, I did. Where's that banner at, Mark?
Oh, he's talking to our store in Niagara Falls. The owner of the store, when I went down there, had said I could put banners up on the outside. I'll pay for it. Well, we put, they're actually 50-foot by 25-foot Made in America logos on this glass building down there on three sides.
Oh, he said to me, you can't miss these.
Yeah, when you come over the border from the Canada to the U.S., it looks like the whole nine-story building's ours, you know.
Yeah, this guy, he did come and see the American-made movie when it was first here, when Larkin and I hosted it on Delaware Avenue. So he has a good idea, and he's a young guy, and this is the kind of people that are being influenced. Some of our elected officials are hearing that there were 400,000 jobs in Philadelphia. There's an election coming up on the 3rd of November. They are hearing, how did we allow Philadelphia to lose all of those jobs over the years? Well, that's a hell of a good question. And I asked that of the elected officials. I said, in your speeches, besides talking about crime issues, problems, you know, for the kids in school and things like that, potholes in the street, what are we doing to bring jobs back to the cities, not only Philadelphia, but to all cities, all regions, so that people have a job within 5 miles of their house? Where is that focus at? Who is stopping the American dream from growing? Mark, tell me who you think, and then I'm going to ask Rich. Who's stopping this American dream from growing right now?
I think everybody, you know, you have to believe in it. You have to believe the American dream. Americans do things. They're doers. They invent. They build. They get the job done. They're problem solvers. We have to start with our schools. We have to educate them. That's what we do. It's not one shoe fits all. You let these kids grow and have want and have ambition and drive, and we teach them that, not to take the handouts. Work for a living and work with your hands. It's okay. Mike, so it's a whole culture change we need to get this thing rolling again and allow the freedom of free trade and, you know, inventor and try things. But we got to make it easier for people to get into a business, get capital, you know, learn our schools to change to teach working with your hands is okay. So it's a whole group effect. We all got to change, and a great way to start is just get an education, see where we are, the 30-year mistake, and where we're going and what we need to do. And we need a leader.
Yes, you're right. We have no leader. We have no leader that says, my focus is on the American dream.
Period.
We don't have anybody. And when that leader comes about and focuses on the American dream, right now there's been some discussions. Mr. Trump has brought a whole new way of bringing things to people's attention. But I'd like to see him go forward and even start to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to expand enterprise zones. We're going to cut capital gains. We're going to make it easy for an employer to bring in people that person's going to be able to get some all or a portion of his health insurance guaranteed while he's employed at your place. There's none of that discussion. We're talking about we're going to have more education and all that stuff. If you look at a debate from 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 16 years ago, it's all wish lists. A lot of wish lists. Rich?
Let's grow the middle class, right? But, Rich, you got to be itching to say something.
A couple of things, guys. First off, and not to contradict myself about Anderson Cooper, I thought he did a pretty good job in the first half, but I'm going to tell you, if that had been me moderating that debate, they probably all would have been squirming. So, and that's not because I'm an expert in policy wonkish, but I'll tell you one question I would have really loved to have heard last night. I would have loved the candidates, and I'm going to make a couple points on some of the things they said, but I would have loved for the candidates to have been asked, why do you think Donald Trump and Ben Carson are so popular right now? And hear what it is that they think. So what's Clinton going to say? He's got funny hair. He's a racist. He's a xenophobe. How about Ben Carson, who's not the useful idiot for the Democratic Party? And I don't, you know, I got to tell you guys, I don't know this for sure. I don't think that they either don't know or they do know, and they'll just use phony intellectualism to try to deceive and dupe you into thinking something otherwise. No matter how you look at it, it's the same end result. Why is it? I'd like to have asked Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Martin O'Malley, because they're the three who are, assuming Joe Biden doesn't get into the race, that's going to be your three there. Why is it that you think Donald Trump is so popular? And I think the answer is really very simple, Michael. You have a huge segment of people who are looking at Trump and looking at Carson, who are the disenfranchised, pissed off, independent voters. The ones who would like to vote for a major party candidate, but they don't. So they go and vote third party. I don't want to say the wasted vote thing. I think that's an insult to people who choose to vote.
But I really think that
they want to do it, because no one wants to vote for the guy, Michael, who's not going to win.
Well, here's another thing.
No one wants to do that.
That I have talked. Last Friday, I was out at this great fair with Senator Sabatina, and I want to say that what I found about Mr. Trump, and by the way, coming to our stand, we had hundreds and hundreds of people. And of course, we talked about all the things that we're doing here and our social service efforts and our American Workers Radio. But many of the people are ticked off that they were able to have a job all their life. And yet their children and their grandchildren living here in the same country have no job opportunities, or they float from one job to another. Now, Mr. Trump is saying facts. We need to get our jobs back. We have to stop allowing everything to be marched out of this country and start marching it back in here. That's what the people want to hear. These are Democrats, Republicans, and independents who want to see somebody, whether it's Mr. Trump or the next party who comes forward, to come in and talk realistic ideas to them. What's going to be around to build jobs up so that my son or my daughter doesn't have to be constantly on the internet going to all these places to put in their resumes and all? Why did we ever let it get to this point in the first place?
Well, Michael, the way that Trump and Ben Carson campaign is not a feelings-based style of campaigning. I mean, if you look last night, they talked about the gun control issue. And what they do, except for Jim Webb, whom, by the way, I don't mind Jim Webb. I just want to make that clear also, to be fair. I kind of liked him before the debate. I didn't know. I knew about his career in journalism. He was a Secretary of the Navy under President Reagan. And he's publicly said Democratic Party's moved too far left. I was really eager to hear what he said last night. So I don't want to say I didn't know anything about him, but I never saw him in that setting. You know, the gun issue. Everyone except Webb just kind of dances around what they really want to say, which is, we just want to take the guns away from everyone. So they say, we want common sense, gun safety, legislation, control, omnipotent, omniscient style of gun control. And it's like, well, we have those laws. What does that mean? And they tiptoe, Michael. They do a ballet dance around what they really want to say, which is, no, we'd like to just take the guns out. And I would have loved Anderson Cooper to have asked them about a recent FBI report. Remember, not a kook conspiracy theory report. The FBI recently released a report with data saying, hey, gun violence is down. Gun violence is down. Guess what's high, though, Michael? Guess what's gone up a lot? Gun ownership. Mm-hmm. Now, those who are very strongly, I always find it funny to argue with people about, well, you know, I'm against the Second Amendment. What they dance around is that. They dance around this thing of, they want to say, let's take the guns away. And Jim Webb, I thought he had the best line of any of the Democrats when he said, hey, we don't have bodyguards all the time. Yeah, right. I have a right to defend myself and my family. So I would have loved Anderson Cooper to have asked Clinton O'Malley, because O'Malley, he really ran with that last night. He really ran with the, I was the mayor of Baltimore, I was the governor of Maryland, signed in all this gun stuff, all that gun stuff. Well, has it worked? Mm-hmm. Has it worked? Chicago? How about an area like that? So I wish that Cooper, now look, if I know about it, Anderson Cooper certainly could have known about it and have asked them, hey, what about this report? Gun violence is going down. But it's splattered, Michael. These horrific shootings are splattered everywhere on the news media. And unfortunately, what is made out of these tragedies, these horrific events, is a feelings-oriented style of dialogue. Well, what if it was your son? What if it was your daughter? What if it was your spouse? And it's made into this. And the mental health thing, I think it's funny to listen to Democrats. I mean, it's hilarious to me to listen to Democrats talk about mental health. Because I bet you in the neighborhoods where phony intellectual progressives live, they probably say this, mental health, we need facilities, but not in my neighborhood, right? I mean, we're in Philly, Michael. We could send a mental health facility to Newark. They got plenty of room there, right? Not going to put it in my backyard. Of course we need it, just not in my backyard. Right. Just like we need diversity, but not in my neighborhood. We need integrated schools, but not in my school. We need to talk about global warming while we... Dude, that doobie, that legal doobie is the best doobie I've ever had. Man, you see that smoke go up into the air? The ozone absorbs that natural cannabis smoke. It's amazing. Come on, Michael. The Democrats can't keep running on do as I say, not as I do. Because what happens is there were some things last night, in fairness to Bernie Sanders, whom a lot of people are going to say, I'm not interested. But working families, the people that the politicians always talk about, they always talk about working families. They're sitting at home. Listen to some of the things that Sanders says resonates with them. Because Sanders, you know, he's been around a long time, and he's a person who I think effectively communicates this. Now, people would say they disagree with him. Fine, but he effectively communicates that there are hardships now. I think that Trump's way of talking about it is he's kind of an SOB about it. And the thing with who you hear talk about, you know, you hear politicians talk about seniors, and then you hear seniors say, well, my Social Security is not going up because gas prices went down. You hear working families. You hear about gay and lesbian, about religious minorities, about immigrants. And I'm sitting there going, if I were an unmarried Caucasian male born in America who spoke English with a small business who liked women with no kids, I feel left out.
You're absolutely right.
I do. I feel left out. And that, Michael, is going to be, if the Democrats lose next year, that's going to be their downfall. Their downfall is going to be, Who cares about my race? I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. I pay my taxes, I work, I try to do the right thing, I'm an honest person. No one friggin' talks about me. And you keep doing that game, Michael, of not talking about people. They come out to vote, they're gonna remember that.
You know, as you were talking about that, about Anderson Cooper, it's really important that I think the people who are running those debates should ask the questions, not prepare the candidates in advance for the questions, but have questions like, so-and-so, what are you going to do to welcome more businesses back to America so that we can get back a million jobs in the next quarter or next year or whatever? Let's see what that response would be. We heard all about the Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Every life matters, as far as I'm concerned. The main thing is allowing a person to have a livelihood makes their life great.
Well, I think that's it. But I think, Michael, that is the foundation of a lot of what Sanders says. The challenge, which whether it's Sanders or anyone, the challenge is making an idea into a policy. And of course, we have a very long history of electing personalities, people who put out 10-point plans. Well, has it worked? Not all the time.
You're
it hasn't
right.
always failed either.
You're right.
Now we're in a position, Michael, where I think people are looking at people who were not political in the past. They're, my sense is a lot of those people are waking up to things because they don't see incomes going up. Their jobs may be, I mean, they could be on the brink of losing a job. They're watching things going on in the world that are frankly very scary. And they're starting to, I think those people who had an attitude of, well, why should I care? It doesn't affect me.
Right, you're right.
I think they're starting to realize, you know what, this actually does affect me. And that's where this election is going to come and say, okay, everyone's got the greatest plan in the world. But when you actually get into that position, who's the person that you think will have the credibility and the integrity and the judgment to do the job as best as possible?
I agree with you, Rich.
You know, Mark?
People are, yeah, they're waking up. I mean, we got to be honest, and it's positive. They care more. I really see it. I see it at the stores. I see it around town in normal conversation, and it's not just as much about party, this party, that party. It's about qualified. We need a qualified leader. We need change, positive change. Let's get this thing going in the right direction. One team, you know, one country. So that's good stuff. I mean, that's what we want to do, and that's what we do on the show, too, stir it up.
And you know, Mark, you're right. And what is I'm learning from store managers and store personnel is that the American people have woken up to the point and they're just saying, well, I already have 10 of those items. And since all of this stuff that's available in the store is not made in America, I'll give it a break at this point and I'll do without it for now. And that's where we see a lot of the foreign countries that were sending all that inventory to the USA are starting to have problems because we don't know what to do with the summer stuff that's still in the stores for 15 and 20% of what they were on sale for originally last April or May. They're on sale unbelievable amounts now just to get them off the store floor. And people are still walking in and saying, nah, I don't want to, you know, put it away. The stores are now starting to see that the American people mean business.
Mike, and, you know, you brought it up before. Our stores, the best thing we do with the Made in America stores, and we're adding two fall stores. You could imagine with the same people and how busy we are. You know, again, I got a great team. We reload quick. So we have a big day yesterday. We reloaded this morning. Everybody, my wife, the workers, every manager, you reload your stores. That's logistically we can do that because our distribution house has the product now, and then we got to order constantly. We got the biggest 2 months of the year coming up. But what you can't do with foreign goods a lot, you've talked about it before, Mike, you buy that one big order. You ordered it last January. It came in now. Now you can't reload. So there's a lot of positive with buying Made in America that people don't really associate the logistics, how close proximity. We talk about the savings of shipping over, but you can order when you get your Made in America companies rolling. They're right in your neighborhood. You can reload quicker.
You're right. And you know, some of these people, Mark, that contracted with outside vendors to make clothing and things like that. They contracted over a period of years, and what they did is now that the people are holding back, you see more and more ads where the stores are saying, buy one and get two free. And that's not because the store wants to be so generous to you. It's because they got to move that inventory because another shipment is coming in, a guaranteed shipment coming from another country to bring into their store. And they either have to warehouse it, firehouse it, do whatever, but they have to move it. So when I talk to these guys that are doing that, I say, that is almost unbelievable. How can you do it? And they say, we have to move the inventory.
Well, this is a point, Michael, that I have to say, though Larkin's not here, I want to give him a shout out on this. When he's mentioned supply chain in the past, I mean, that is right on as can possibly be. And I see it in my own business in RJL. We sell barcoding technologies, hardware, and some other products and services to businesses. And I see, Mark, I see supply chain. There are certain products we sell that are 95% made in the U.S. And, Mark, sometimes the lead time's long on those. But you know what? There are certain products that I sell that are made overseas. And you know what, Michael? Sometimes I see 2-3 month lead times on those as well. So when these guys 6 years ago, some of these clothing, hardware companies, they had an offer. The offer was get the cheap labor rate locked in for 6 years. You got to buy the stuff anyway. You got to buy $5,000 a month, whatever it is. At that time, it was a very, very tempting offer, and you saw that many who went into those agreements. What's happening now? They're stuck with stuff because the things were being made at such a frenetic pace that the moment they were off the conveyor line, they were on a bin shipping, getting shipped to here.
And now that our people are holding back and not buying it, the stores are panicking.
And yes. China, economically, there's parts of the country that are not doing well at all. Manufacturing slowed. There are certain items, Mark, you know this better than any of us. There are certain items that you almost could never find made in America just a few years ago.
Yes.
That are now popping up when you look. So you got to look.
Yep.
That's the thing. You got to look. And that's the action that people, I think now, Mark, are starting to, you know, labels. You heard a lot about labels last night. I'm a moderate. I'm a progressive. I'm a, transgender Muslim Guatemalan illegals want to hear about tonight. You know, it's like that's what you hear a lot about labels. So it's, I'm a moderate. I'm a progressive. You know what the label is that matters? It's American. You know, who cares what your label is? I agree with this person. I agree with a lot of this person. I mean, what are you going to say about Mark Andel? Well, you know, Mark, he seems like a, you know, he seems like one of those. He thinks he's like one of, he doesn't know if he's in Canada or New York half the time. You know, he's like one of those conservatives. No, Mark is an American who sells Made in America items, has made a living out of this, along with your welding company.
You know, and I want to talk about one. My top product is the Made in America, sir, one of them. You know, clothing is very a top product, but Wigwam Sock, and I brought it up before. Bob Chesbro is the CEO of Wigwam Socks out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Now, Wigwam and Made in America, we started with them, and Bob wanted to know where Mark Andel came from. He said, where were you for 30 years? I needed you. I'm an outlaw in our own country. That's why I don't do shows, Mark. And now, you know, I'm proud to say 5 years later, we're their number one Wigwam Sock dealer almost out of 5,000 outlets. We're nearing over $250,000 in sales with them. We just called them, told them we're opening a new stores, and they backed me. They gave me 5,000 socks for our soldiers. You know why? Bob loves our country. He started working with their hands. He supports 300 livelihoods in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And the Wigwam Sock is the best sock made, period. Not because I sell it. If our listeners go out, buy a Wigwam Sock. You know, Dick's Sporting Goods even sells it. But to watch one company grow with the Made in America store, when we talk about, Bob could have went overseas many, many times. Our government gave Textile our work to countries that we didn't even know of because they thought that was okay. Bob said, that was my livelihood, our family built. So he fought to keep Wigwam in this country. And I just, one product if we picked at the Made in America store that's made such a difference, and this guy's building them right in Wisconsin and making these socks, and he's doing great, and it's at a competitive price. And Rich and Mike, and this is what we talk about, a quality product made in our country, And there's no reason that he's a perfect example of why it works.
You're absolutely right.
Logistically, everything. You can do it.
You said something very interesting. He feels like he's an outlaw in our own country.
And that's his words right when I said, why don't you do more shows in the United States? He said, Mark, I'm an outlaw in our own country.
Well, this is what we discussed
nicest
with,
guy you want to meet, guys.
With A.J. Jurgensen from the Manufacturing Institute and all the others that were telling us how people in the World Trade Organization are trying to stop us from promoting American-made labels so that people don't get the idea that they should start shopping American-made. I'm sorry. This is not the way America was meant to be. We're not supposed to be flat on our back looking for somebody to give us a bone. We're supposed to be the leader. We are the world leader. We're the world's largest purchaser of products from around the world. But our people need jobs so that they're able to go out and buy whatever they want, whether it's made in America or foreign made. My whole goal is 50% of everything in the stores should be with American-made label on it. Mark, do you agree with that?
I do. I love it, and I think we can all aim at that. It says that we believe in globalization. It says we believe other countries can make quality products also, and we can be competitive and work together, but it says never forget about your country.
And, you know,
don't
also
take an eye off your country.
Also, Mark, wouldn't it be nice if people came as visitors and they come here and they look and they say, wow, everything is made in a foreign country. I mean, I can't get over how America doesn't have anything to feature in its stores. That's pretty scary. Now, if tourists from other countries are thinking of that, can you imagine what our young people are thinking about? Well, what's made in America? My school supplies, not made in America. My backpack, not made in America. My hoodie, not made in America. So what am I going to do? What does anybody in my family have to look forward to? Maybe this is part of the problem of our social issues in this country, that people don't have something positive to look forward to do in their life. Rich?
A couple of things, Michael. Your point before, right, us being on our, but we are, in my heart of hearts, I refuse to believe we're not still the best place, and I believe that we are. But on some important things, we are, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I'm not speaking for the panel here. In my opinion, I feel like we are losing our grip on some things. And it's the equivalent of trying to push a rope. And I will tell you that in my company, there have been times in the 7 years since I started my company that I felt like I was on the brink of closing shop. And whether it was real or perceived, just like what I say right now about our country, if we're losing our grip, real or perceived, when I felt that way, Michael, in my business, I worked even more like a madman. And I worked under the mindset of patience, yes, but with a tremendous sense of urgency. Right now in our country, I was born in 1977, Michael, so I don't remember what it was, what it felt like to be an American in the late 70s. But if you ask our parents and those, most people will tell you, whether they like Carter or not, most people will tell you it didn't feel great being an American. Felt really good. I mean, it's still the best place, but didn't feel great. And then whether people loved Reagan or not, from the historic standpoint, he was a person who came in and said, you're an American, and you should feel great. And then by 1984, the guy won every damn state in the Electoral College, which is unheard of. Why? Because even for those who maybe didn't love his politics, you know, he wasn't the greatest of intellects. But when the guy talked about America, you said, damn.
That's right.
I feel great about being in it. Now, again, Michael, whether it's real or perceived or not, that's a historical perspective. I think that for many people, part of the reason that I desperately hope you're right, that they're waking up, is they're starting to feel right now saying, hey, look, we're still the best place, but doesn't feel as great as maybe it once did, or doesn't feel as great as I think it should. And if those people start to understand that that feeling has a lot to do with what we as the public do through the voting booth and through our wallets as consumers, that's where our principles of freedom, liberty, and a free market, none of which, Michael, we get all perfect, okay? There's no perfect solution to these things. But when we talk about freedom and liberty, we've done it better than anywhere in the history of the world.
And consistently.
Okay? So doesn't mean we've been perfect. Doesn't mean there aren't issues. But if we just want to say everything is amazing and incredible and awesome and enchanting and divine and super duper, I also don't want a guy to, you know, be the Debbie Downer on everything either. I'm cautiously pessimistic, Mark, because I think right now we've got to get a feeling. And the way that that's going to happen is by people taking responsibility for their lives, for their choices, and to understand that the actions end in action. See, this is the key thing. Those who don't do anything, they don't think that their inaction influences things, and they're mistaken.
You're right.
And I think, Michael, some of them are starting to realize that.
You're right. In fact, those that have been sleeping for years have now waked up. They're starting to say, I never believed this would be happening in my neighborhood, in my city, in my state, in my country. Why has this happened? Because maybe too many people wanted to be politically correct. And being politically correct really hurt more than it ever helped.
That's more let's be friends crap. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's more feeling, oh, this guy's offended by it. And I've said to you guys before that, and Mark, you know, you sell those American-made flags. I have shown articles to you guys where you've got people at schools. The American flag is under siege, Michael.
Because
both of these sides, excuse me, Mark, both of these sides have, it's a small but influential parasitic side on the extremes. And for some of them, the idea that we you know, patriotism and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and our liberties and freedoms, those things are inconveniences to some people.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Rich, because I had these couple buses. Again, this is the bus time of year. We've been getting buses from everywhere. So last Saturday when I had the 105 people from Iowa, two buses, I said, how's the feeling in Iowa? What's the feeling? And I asked them on the candidates or whatever. They said, well, the biggest fight right now is keeping the American flag in our churches and schools. I said, really? He goes, yeah, that's what they're coming after.
It's under siege.
And, you know, what do you think about that, Mike? And these guys were serious. These aren't yo-yos. These are people that were somebody in America on these buses. They're doers.
That's right. They are doers.
I had five of them to tell me this story, so you got to believe it. I said, they're messing with the flags in churches and schools. That's our number one fight right now, keeping the flag in the schools and churches.
Yep.
I can't believe that.
Yes, I hear it all the time. People say, well, we have such a diverse student body. Maybe it's better to have no flag in the school. I say, what? This is America.
Yeah, every soldier must and every veteran must just, shake when they hear that.
No, that's let's be friends crap. That's Mark, it's making things easy. Oh, you're offended by that. We're going to remove it. You're offended that there isn't a certain religious holiday that's closed in the schooling. We're going to just go and change. I just want to change everything around, you know, change things. It's an inconvenience to me. I came here, you know, you serve me. I'm the religious minority. I'm the this, I'm the that. Come on.
But there's one thing you don't mess with in the United States of America, and that's the American flag. That stands for everybody that ever stood and built this country.
And you know, Mark, as I said earlier, I see more flags on lawns and in windows and in stores than I've ever seen ever. And in my travels,
which is excellent,
which is something I'm really pleased about. And now I'm promoting, and I'm going to ask everybody to put a link about November as American Made Month on their sites so that we can get as many people behind this issue. I'm going to start this week again sending it out to the politicians. We deal with every newspaper in the USA. Our weekly commentaries, our show goes out to a couple thousand newspapers every week. So we do have people who know what's going on. They see the message all the time. They have a very good idea as to what we're trying to do. The problem is the big people, the top people, the major leaders paid to do a job, they're not doing their part. They're just talking, we need to do this, we need to do that. I have a wish list with this amount of products. I want to do this or that. Nothing that they said yesterday or in some of the other Republican debates, Mr. Trump was more vocal. He brought more conversation to the table. He made more people start to talk about America than I've heard in years.
Well, everything he's on, Michael, if you ask him about the CNN debate, about the Fox debate, they were all the high, CNN had the, I think it was their highest rated program ever, ever of any program. I think the Fox debate was the highest rated first presidential debate. The 60 Minutes interview that he did was one of the highest 60 Minutes interviews, highest rated interviews ever. And when you say that to Trump, he turns around and says, well, that's because of me. That's what he says. That's because of me.
Well, I mean, everywhere I go, every event that I go to, people are saying, I'd like to see 10 guys speak the way Trump is speaking. We would have some real things happening in the U.S.
Again, Michael, I would have loved to have heard that question last night. Why do you think Donald Trump and Ben Carson are so popular right now? What is it about them that you think appeals to people? And I would have loved to have heard the answers. I would have loved to have heard the answers. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton said last night that being a woman makes her an outsider. And there are people that are going to go vote for her based on that. Based on that, Michael.
Well, if Hillary Clinton, Trump, or could give us a 10-point plan as to what they're going to do, in the first year we will gather, I will have a meeting in Washington every week with a different sector of America's manufacturing, business people, bring them in. What are we going to do to double the jobs that we have right now? Then you could respect that person. But them talking about all the issues that are being rehashed over and over again really doesn't mean anything to the person who's out of a job. Somebody sitting there unemployed, what did they gather from any of the debates to date?
It's just my opinion, Michael, that right now is in our history, or in our, at this time in history, excuse me, it is just my opinion that I think, and forgive me my language for saying this, but I think that this country at the helm needs a real son of a, you know what?
Yeah.
That's what I believe. At this time right now, at this time in our, now, does that mean it's Trump? I don't know. I mean, I'm not right in the here and now. I've not pledged a vote to anyone. I think from the Republican side, I think the next biggest son of a you-know-what is probably Ted Cruz, albeit in a different way from Trump. Trump, Carson, on the Republican side, the reason that they're popular now is because they've got a whole huge number of either independent voters or those who never cared who are paying attention to them. They're giving serious consideration. You know, Ben Carson is, he's, whether one likes him or not, the guy has an incredible story. You know, he grew up in poverty in a real time of racism and went on to be a head of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, where I didn't go, by the way. I didn't go to Johns Hopkins Medical School or the university. He was at 33 years old, the head of neurosurgery. He was the youngest person to ever head a department, excuse me, at Johns Hopkins. And I read the comments, Michael, when I look at Ben Carson interviews, and I see people call him, black people call him racial epithets. They use the word house N-word to call Carson. And I got so mad one day reading these comments that I had to ask people, can anyone tell me the difference between a house N-word and like a condo or co-op N-word? Like, what's the difference between a house one and a co-op one or a condo one? These are racial. You right here at Michael, University of Pennsylvania, you had a professor who just called Ben Carson the racial C-word. The racial C-word. Because Carson said, if you want to fly a Confederate flag on your private property, you should be able to do that. And the limousine liberal progressives, they came after him. And what they either don't realize, they're either too dumb to know it, or they think that they can spin it with phony intellectualism, is he only gets more popular. He only gets more popular from, and Trump is riding that wave right now. But from here on out, guys, if Trump's going to be seriously considered, because don't count Heb out yet, I'm going to tell you that right now, in my opinion, Trump's got to show himself to be presidential. He's got to show himself to be presidential. And he's going to get more chances at the debates. And he's still polling well, and his popularity continues because he's getting people who probably otherwise never voted for a major party or just didn't vote at all. And that's why, Michael, they're popular. There's a number of reasons other, but no time to get into now. But that's the crux of why.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, this has been an almost unbelievable broadcast. But before we sound off today, in fact, Rich is going to be in town. Maybe we're going to ask him and hopefully Mark, and Larkin is on travel for a bit. So if we could continue this conversation next broadcast, because we're on a roll, we have a lot of things happening, and we're influencing people to look out for one another. I think that's the most important thing we can do. And as was mentioned earlier today, I'm encouraging you during this holiday season to make sure you check out Mark Andel's store on the internet. Go to madeinamericastore.com. That's madeinamericastore.com. And you can also know that your local store can contact Mark if they're interested in selling some of the items that he has available. Also, I would like to say thank you to the Net Cost Market. They have two locations in Philadelphia. One is at 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 2417 Welsh Road in Northeast Philadelphia. You can visit them 7 days a week or check them out on the internet anytime at netcostphilly.com. And greetings to all of you from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, from Chester Shanovsky from Serena's Auto Body Shop, from Mr. Joseph Drobot of the PRCUA, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, from Dr. Eva Machak, who is a great dentist in the Philadelphia area, from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, from the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, from Mr. Martin Bednarek of Washington Savings Bank, from Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, from Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance, and also from Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn of Everest Dental. And Mr. Frank Spula of the Polish National Alliance urges all of you to support the American Made campaign. And also greetings from Comcast Business, B4B, who encourages you to support American Made also. All of the people, no matter what has been happening in the last few years, everybody is starting to talk and do things to show concern for jobs in the USA. What we really have to do is get our national leaders to wake up from their slumber and start to look out for all of us. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Thanks so much, Mark Andel, for your participation today. And Rich Logis live in the studio. Henry Czaplinski, dziękuję bardzo for your help. I'm Michael Blihasz, and thank you all for supporting American Made. Don't forget to go to the front page of our internet site and check out all the links where you'll see that November is American Made Month. Following our broadcast today is the Philly Labor Show. They're going to have some guests on there. Stay tuned and have a great day. And don't forget to support American Made. Every time you go to a store, make sure that you speak up and let them know that you're an American Made supporter. David Zanya.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good week, guys.